Great to be with you guys again today. We're continuing our series on the one another commands in Scripture. As we talked about last week and how Ray has kind of framed it up in light of all of the things going on in our culture and a lot of the things going on in light of the church, relational issues, things like that, like how do we respond to the body of Christ? And as Ray set it up, one of the ways that we navigate life as a Christian is with each other and the one another commands of Scripture. So that's what we're going to be focusing on all quarter. Now, when you talk about what the Bible talks about the Christian life, one of the metaphors that it will use is war, that the fight of faith uses words like opposition, which in the Greek is it's literally fighting war terms. And you get some pictures of like 1 Timothy. Paul even says in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy that some have made a shipwreck of their faith. So for us talking about, you know, this was a train wreck, you know, apparently they had language like that back then, and it was literally, this was a shipwreck, you know. So he gives two examples right after that of guys named Hymenaeus and Alexander, that people who've made a shipwreck of their faith. And then when you even look at the heroes of Scripture, you'll even find, like, man, it just seems like it's a miracle that we even make it through the Christian life to the end, right? I mean, it helps us understand we really need as much grace today as we did, you know, just becoming Christians, right? That the need for grace never ends. And what grace is, one of the ways that we see that we receive grace from God is through the body of Christ. We need one another. So today we're going to be talking about bearing one another's burdens. And what does that mean for us to bear one another's burdens? We use that phrase a good bit. There's actually like straight up scripture that says bear one another's burdens, right? It's very clear. What does that mean? So if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Let's see. I think I might have to click on this. These dual screens. And there we go. Sometimes it's not quite as easy. That. Would I rather have that at the top or on the side?
The top.
Okay, let's do it at the top. Okay. Galatians chapter 5 will start in verse 25. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. When we look at this context, what does it mean to bear one another's burdens? So chapter 6 is linked to what has just been said at the end of chapter 5. That's where we started there in verse 25. That life in the Spirit means that our relationships are impacted by the gospel. Okay? Life in the Spirit means the gospel changes the way that we interact with each other, so that he says, when we're keeping in step with Spirit, he says, let us not become conceited. This is actually the word we talked about if you were here last week in Philippians chapter 2, where it literally means empty glory. That we should not be living in such a way that we're trying to get glory for ourselves. We want recognition for this thing. We want people to notice us. We somehow make things all about us. Maybe they'll mention my name in that. Empty glory. It's a self-focus. So we're looking for glory for ourselves oftentimes. And Paul's saying life in the Spirit is not about a self-focus, but as we'll see, it's an other's focus, not my glory, but the glory of God. And he says two specific ways here that we try to seek our glory or become conceited. One, he says provoking one another. If you think about that, you do not provoke someone unless you feel like you are in a place of superiority. You don't try to provoke someone when you feel like, there's nothing I can really do here. Like, provoke, don't poke the beast kind of thing. You only provoke when you feel like you're in a place of superiority, when you feel capable and strong. So there's one way in which conceit, we can be in a place where we feel like it's pride. It's we're better than others in this area, in this regard. And that's one sense of conceit, empty glory. But then the next thing he says is envying one another. You don't envy someone when you feel that you have all that you need. You envy someone when you feel like there is something missing. It's what we call a place of inferiority. So pride can actually lead us to feel either superior to someone, but it's also pride when we have this place of inferiority. As we talked about last week, having a right view of ourselves, we are made in the image of God, therefore we have inherent value because of that. That leads us to not see ourselves as superior to other people or inferior to other people. But we just have a right view of who we are. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking about yourself less. Remember that from last week? So he starts there when he talks about life in the Spirit. So bearing one another's burdens, and I actually forgot that I have a slide here for this, and it is not clicking. Let's try this. Bearing one another's burdens happens when we are not conceited, but when we take our eyes off of ourselves. That's the only way that we're truly going to be able to bear one another's burdens. Eyes off of ourselves, onto each other, onto others. We've got to get rid of any sense of superiority or a sense of inferiority. A superior mindset says, well, I've got better, more important things to do than to enter into this person's life in this way. A place of inferiority might say, well, they probably don't need help from someone like me. What do I really have to offer? And if you're in either one of those places, the focus is on yourself and not bearing one another's burdens. So life in the Spirit says, life is not about me. It's a focus on other people and on what God has me to do. So living by the Spirit is an other's focus, and only when we have that can we bear one another's burdens. Okay? So, what then is bearing one another's burdens? Verse 2 of chapter 6 says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Burdens. What is a burden? And this can be crowd participation here. What is a burden? We use that word. What do we mean?
Hard work.
Hard work. Great.
I think even in this situation, and I think we all have tribulations, but sometimes in the life, we have an extra issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like when my husband died, this mm-hmm. or all my birds.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, not your normal.
Okay.
Living life, but it's an extra portion.
So burden could be something a little bit more heavy than normal.
Responsibility.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
Extra responsibility.
Extra responsibility. When we talk about a burden, we're really talking, I mean, even when you think about, you know, a beast of burden, when we talk about like a donkey or something, we're talking about something that's bearing a heavy load, right? So a burden is, at the heart of it, anything that's heavy to bear. This verse right here gives us a little bit of a clue about what it means to bear one another's burdens when it says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, the Galatians, they've got this letter that's being read to them, and they would have heard something in some previous paragraphs before. If you go back to chapter 5, he says in verse 13, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So there's this idea here where commentators will look and kind of parallel these two verses, Galatians 5, 13 and 14, and then also now in 6, 2, where it talks about fulfilling the law of Christ. And really it's saying like, a burden is anything that's helping to carry the load of someone else. There is a general sense that this verse really is talking about just any heavy burden that is that someone has to bear, helping someone else bear that burden. You know, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you to what?
Love
one another.
I love you,
so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples when you do what? Love one another. So we are carrying a load in a way to serve and love one another. So this would include any kind of hardship that tempts us to question the love of God. Anything that would have us doubt God's goodness. Why could this be happening, Lord? I know you're powerful. You could do something about this, and you're not changing it. Why are you not? When I'm feeling that, I'm carrying a burden. So in one sense, bearing one another's burdens is anything that would cause us to doubt the goodness of God. So having an other's focus, I'm focusing not on myself but other people, it allows us to have a life where we can help carry the load of others. Having another's focus will also really cause us to be on the alert for those things. So I'm actively looking for how we can bear one another's burdens, how I can serve, how I can help. I mean, one of the things that I think I've seen, at least in my experience of the last 14 years in Briarwood, is the speed at which we will prepare a meal for someone else shows how to bear one another's burden. And I think we all know, because we've had someone bring up a meal in one context or another, how helpful that is, right? They're saying they have so much on their mind. If I could just take this one thing away, that will help. It's not much, but it'll help. And the person receiving that is feeling like, wow, they've done so much, right? And it was easy for us to just take them a meal. It wasn't hard to do, but the person's feelings like, thank you for helping me carry this burden, right? We're to lift burdens and not create burdens for others. That's life in the Spirit. So people of the Spirit are burden carriers, not burden creators. Now, this does not mean that we're trying to like, well, I'm just going to keep this to myself because I don't want to be a burden. That's actually pride, too. We're basically trying to say, when I say this, is like, I'm not going to be too proud to ask for help. I'm not going to be too proud to offer help. I'm looking and on the alert for ways that I really can help this other person. Self-sufficiency is pride, and it will destroy your life in Christ. And we all need each other. And as we just mentioned, I'll demonstrate this in a couple ways in a second, but those things that are so heavy for us, if I'm carrying someone else's burden, it's easier for me to carry your burden than to carry my own burden. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's less of a burden for me to help you than it is to carry my own burden.
Yeah.
So when we're stepping in to help carry someone else's burden, like, that's a big deal, more of a big deal for that person than it even is for us. So I don't mean to say, well, I'm just going to keep my trouble to myself. When I say we're to be burden lifters and not burden creators, here are some of the things that I'm talking about. Now, listen, I know what I'm about to say, like, this is more from my experience in ministry and in, I'm just going to preface this and say, like, don't get too offended by this list or anything like that. And I don't have scriptures tied to every one of these things. But I do think there are ways that I've seen in the body of Christ that are just so subtle that it's burden creating instead of burden lifting.
Maybe I over-prepared you for this, but
drama or overreactions creates a burden for others. Making something a bigger deal than it is. I think we've all felt that before. That's creating burdens for others. Gossip. The tongue is a fire and it can destroy. Gossip creates a burden for others. Oversensitivity, where we're getting our feelings hurt too easily and we take everything personally, when we are, if you are that person, when I am that person, people want to avoid us because it creates more of a burden than it, than anything else. Being overly blunt, hey, I just say it like it is. Your words matter, your tone matters, your body posture, your body language matters, and when you don't pay attention to those things, you do create burdens for others. Am I okay here?
No.
Especially through text messages.
Wow. Yeah. By the way, this came from my personal journal of ways I talk. How about this one? This is a little bit of a point here. That being overly verbal. I have a buddy that someone described him as a verbal tornado. Okay? People who are just looking for an audience, ready to talk about whatever's on their mind, just be aware. Like, I'm speaking to me on this one. My wife points this out. That creates a burden for other people a lot of times. Like, I don't just need to be in audience for you to say all of this to me. I've got other things. Okay, I'll stop here. A lack of care or carelessness with words and actions kind of goes to the next one, a thoughtlessness. We're just not being thoughtful. If you're not thinking about the way your interactions are affecting other people, that's a great place to become a burden creator. Okay. We have to be thoughtful and not careless. Projecting on others or they're making assumptions. I'm assuming this is what they really mean. That creates a burden for others. It creates problems over and over. And again, these are subtle things that I've seen. Some of these things are reasons that I've had to actually do mediation between people. That when it got down to it, I could not, like, just point out if this is a sin that needs to be repented of on either side. It was these subtle things that just, they weren't giving enough care, where they were being too blunt, and it was just hurting feelings instead of being thoughtful and trying to serve and out of love, serve one another. Judging others. We're all so afraid that someone is going to condemn our decisions that if you come across as someone that is judging someone else, making, like, you're just going to tell me how bad of a decision that was. Like, we'll talk more about that one. Fears and anxieties. That, honestly, fears and anxieties is usually due to an idol of control. Someone pointed out, and it was not me, I'm not going to take credit for this one, but someone pointed out in relationships that wives are more prone to struggle with this than the husbands are. I'm not making comment on that. I'm just saying it was an observation. But if you have an idol of control, a lot of times the fears and anxieties that come from that will create burdens. Just know that. And for the husbands, as I was pointed out, inactivity and passivity, maybe even laziness. I worked hard today. I deserve to just turn off when I get home. Usually due to the idol of comfort and leisure, that is burden creating more than burden carrying.
Even football season?
Let's move on. We have to just, like, the thing is, I think you guys know this more, probably more than I do. But a lot of the attacks and divisions that happen in the church come in subtle ways. Because when you're on guard, you're theologically, doctrinally sound, and you're looking for ways that the enemy's coming to steal, kill, and destroy and, you know, attack the flock. It's the subtle things that we see of just people getting hurt. And as people of the Spirit of God, we're to be burden carriers and not burden creators. So what are some ways that we can bear one another's burdens? Just a few things. This is just a list. It was off the top of my head. Prayer. I don't know what I can do here. I'll pray for you. That might not feel like much, but God uses prayer. He's told us, I'll answer your prayer. presence. Sometimes just being close is all we need to bear one another's burdens. And listening, the next one, listening without providing solutions. A lot of us want to fix things. We want to be helped. We really, out of a heart to want to help, a lot of times we offer a lot of things, and sometimes we just need to listen without offering solutions. Acknowledging how hard something is without comparing stories. This is one of mine. I may have mentioned this, I'm certified in a few different, personality tools. So I think a lot about personality stuff, and, one of the things I've learned about some personalities like mine is we have this desire to affiliate with people and connect with people. And a lot of times I'm trying to show you, I feel what you're saying. I'm trying to validate what you're saying. And it comes across as just comparing a story. Be aware of that. So acknowledging how hard something is without comparing stories. Sometimes it's just, I'm so sorry. That seems so hard. And you don't even have to say, I can't imagine what you're going through. Yeah, that's fine to say, good to say, but sometimes it's just, I'm sorry. Serving, obviously, when people are struggling, the last thing they want to think about is mowing their yard and trimming the hedges, right? Just an example. Taking a meal, that's really practical, but we talked about this earlier. Here's one, writing rather than calling. There's so many times that, don't take this too far, but there's just sometimes people aren't in a position like, if I'm struggling, life is hard, I feel bad for my answering your phone call, but I'm just not in a place to talk right now. And what writing will do will allow you time to process and respond when they're ready and without feeling guilty of, like, I didn't answer the phone call, I know they're just trying to help. That's where that one, so don't take that too far, but I think you know what I'm getting at with that. And this one, ask. Sometimes we ask people, how can we help? Bear your burden here. Sometimes we just ask others, hey, when you were in a position like this, what was helpful? And it's just in a posture of learning. And how can I help here? Some of it's be thoughtful. And by that, I kind of mean empathy. Oh, I put that up there. Empathy. Empathetic. That I'm trying to put myself in their position. What would be helpful for me that can help bear one another's burdens? And then just love them as you love yourself. If I think about that, like with the same intensity that I want food in my stomach, that same intensity I want to provide food for someone else. Like, if I think in that way, like, it becomes that much of a priority to love them. That's what we're talking about here. There's a picture that I get of bearing one another's burdens of Moses and the Amalekites. And as long as his arms were raised, Israel was winning. But as soon as they started to drop, they started to lose. So what happened?
They propped him up.
And that's the picture I get. I've got men in my life that prop me up. I was reflecting on this week. Are any of you familiar with Lord of the Rings? The books? Yeah. There's a place where, man, if you get this from the movie too. So if you haven't watched the movie, they're good. My daughters, we started reading Lord of the Rings to her. Not to give anything away, if you haven't read it or seen it, at this point I'm thinking that's not a big deal. I can go ahead and spoiler or whatever, but if you haven't seen it or read it, it's your fault, not mine. Okay. So, but there's this place, they've been carrying this burden, this ring, for a long time, and you just get the feel, like, you get worn down reading and watching this stuff. I mean, it's like, they are finally at Mount Doom at the very end of the journey, and they just, it's Sam Gamgee and Frodo, and they just hit the ground, and it's like they can't go any further. And you can just feel the weight of how heavy this ring that represents evil is just war. I know Tolkien was beleaguering. This weight that they're feeling, and Sam says to Frodo, because Frodo's the one that's really carrying the burden, He says, come, Mr. Frodo, I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you. And that's what it's like when I'm, that's like, man, that is so powerful of a picture of what it means to bear one another's burdens. I can't carry this burden for you, but I can carry you. Bearing one another's burdens.
One thing about writing and rather than calling, I found, because I'm a keeper of letters and Christmas cards and all that kind of stuff, but when somebody writes a note, it's just amazing how God puts it in your hand even a month or a year later when you, and you run across it, and it's just like you've been blessed all over
again. That's a great point. That's a great thought. So bearing one another's burdens. Now there's another sense that we talk about with bearing one another's burdens that is like the immediate context of this passage. Scholars would say, we go back to what it says in chapter 5, and so there is a general sense of serving one another, just bearing anything that's heavy. But let's read chapter 6 again. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you are spiritual, should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Others' focus includes restoring one another in the matter of sin. We not only need to be alert for how we can bear each other's burdens in the sense of anything heavy to carry, the suffering, the tribulations of life, those extra heavy loads, but also the threat of sin. We need each other to do this. Our culture, even churches in the South, the Bible Belt culture, there's a big way we're quick to say, judge not lest you be judged, right? And therefore, I can't get in this issue of and call them out on sin, and you know, I can't judge. But that's not what Jesus is even talking about in that passage in Matthew chapter 7. Bearing one another's burdens mean that we look and see when brothers and sisters are in sin, and we help them be restored. We do this in a spirit of gentleness. This is even mentioned, I've got to put that up there, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, when Paul says, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, with them all. We are to help restore each other in the spirit of gentleness. We got to be patient and help make sure that we're not walking in sin, that we're not engaging in things that dishonor the Lord. Because life in the spirit means that we are walking in purity and holiness and help each other to do that. We're getting in each other's lives to help each other fight the sin. And Hebrews 12:1 talks about the sin that clings so closely that we're all prone to. Bearing one another's burdens means that we really do help each other by holding each other accountable. We do this in humility, knowing that we too are vulnerable, Galatians 6 talks about. So, the second week in a row, I've had a John Piper quote. But he says this, we should probably define a burden then as anything that threatens to crush the joy of our faith. Whether a tragedy that threatens to make us doubt God's goodness or a sin that threatens to drag us into guilt and judgment. We need accountability. Never will forget that I actually just brought this up to him this week when I met with him. But Kent Bailey, I might have even mentioned him last week when I think about it, but Kent Bailey with Kim Sarek's The Mental Work, he told me one time about 6 or 7 years ago, and this has stuck with me, that in accountability, we need a place that is both safe and sharpening. A lot of times we fall to one side or the other when we're talking about accountability. A safe place means, like, I feel like you people in my inner circle that we do accountability with, you are safe enough that I can just really be honest about what's going on in my life. That's a safe environment. I don't fear judgment. I know you are for me, that you love me, and I can share and be vulnerable with you. That's a safe place. If accountability is just safe, a lot of times we don't press in and try to help each other deal with the sin. We're just, oh, that's okay. You know, don't beat yourself up too much. All of these kind of things. But we also need a place that is also sharpening, meaning that we're able to press in and say, but are you dealing with this? Are you taking this seriously? So now what we do sometimes in an environment that is just sharpening and not safe, it's an environment that is just like, how many times did you read your Bible this week? Did you share your faith? How many times did you get on your phone and look at Facebook? You know, it's like all we're concerned about is, did I check the boxes right? And what we've got to do is have a place that is both of those things. Where it's safe, where I can be vulnerable and say, hey guys, this is what I was struggling with this week. I just need to confess this to you. And they will be my people, and I need to be this for others, are a place that also says, you are forgiven. In Christ, that sin is covered. And he separates that sin from you as far as the east is from the west. But how can we help you to not engage in that sinful behavior again? How can we get to the root at what really is going on? What caused you to even pursue that avenue, that thing? Why were you gossiping? You knew you shouldn't. You know, an environment that embraces both of those things. And then it says in this passage, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. That doesn't mean, when Paul says here, you are spiritual, that doesn't mean like you've reached this level of super spirituality. What he's talking about is people who are led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. People of the Spirit whose lives are transformed by the gospel help each other walk through this life, which sin that clings so closely is 3 James chapter 1. It wants to kill you. Like, literally, the end goal of sin is to take you out. And bearing one another's burden says, I refuse to let you be taken out because of this. Just like you refuse to let me be taken out because of this. We will deal with this together, being Spirit-led. Sin is a burden. It weighs heavy, and it brings shame and guilt.
That's right.
And so this could be, I got a phone call recently from a brother, and he says, I just needed to call this and confess to someone. And this isn't like a Catholic confession or anything like that. What this is I need to bring somebody else into this situation so that I don't do it again. Someone that can also remind me of the truth that I am not condemned. That in Christ, I am forgiven. And that sin is covered. I need somebody to remind me of that. So I'm calling you, Ryan. We need to be that for each other. Because sin feels heavy. It is a burden. Sometimes we just believe lies, too. And we need to help people to speak the truth to us. Maybe this is just me. I don't think so, but bearing one another's burdens, it will mean sometimes confrontation. And that is okay. That is good. It just needs to be done in a spirit of gentleness and love. And we need to invite this in. Do you see something that I don't see? I am blessed that I have a group of men that we do accountability together, and I feel so loved by them that I'm able to invite them in and say, guys, you see something I'm not seeing here. What patterns? You've heard me to confess this 3 times in the last 2 months. Like, do you see a pattern that I don't see? Like, do you see something that's even, like, might even be Like, I'm more prone to sin in this way because of it. What do you see that I don't see? Help me. Because sin is a burden. Forgetting what's in my PowerPoint here. Bearing one another's burdens is seeing the speck in your brother or sister's eye and helping to keep it from going along. And we know from what you said in Matthew chapter 7, we first deal with the log in our own eye, right? And that's almost like this comical, I'm looking around and I've got this log protruding and smacking people as I turn my head, right? And if I've got this log in my own eye, I haven't dealt with that, how am I going to help a brother? So we do that. But bearing one another's burdens is seeing the speck in your brother or sister's eye and being willing to step in and helping it not to become a log. Paul says, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Amen. I know that I'm prone to this as well. Maybe that's why I even see it so clearly. I don't know. Maybe I don't see it clearly, but I'm fearful that from what you're saying, it sounds like you're engaging in this sin. I just got to ask you, are you keeping watch over this, bearing one another's burdens? We as the church, we need a small group of people that you trust and a group of people that trust you to share these burdens. This is not the time to be like, my life is an open book. I share everything with everybody. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a group of people, a small group of people that we know and trust so much that they're in our lives and we're in their lives when we do this together. The goal is a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others. So, restoration, healing. We must learn to speak grace and truth into each other's lives. And that verse in John chapter 1, that's a great picture of the safe and sharpening. You know, Jesus full of grace and truth. Grace is that safe place. I will experience grace with these group of people. Jesus is also full of truth. I will hear truth from these people. Grace and truth, safe and sharpened. So just real quickly to end, I just kind of threw this in here. This is the way I do accountability when I'm doing it with guys, a disciple or whatever. We just typically hit on these three areas and ask the question, how's your communion with God? We don't ask the question, how many quiet times have you had this week or anything like that. I'm not saying that's awful or wrong necessarily, but when you're talking about Pharisees had quiet times, right? Pharisees read the Bible a lot. We're not talking about did you read your Bible or did you remember? Did you commune with your loving Heavenly Father? There's a difference between the discipline and actually are we communing with God? And there's sometimes it feels like I'm not communing with God, and the discipline kind of carries me through those times. Discipline is good. Don't get me say discipline is bad. But what we want to check in each other's hearts, how's your communion with God? Like, you feel like you're connecting with Him? You feel like He's teaching you things through the Word? Are you carrying your burdens to Him in prayer? So, how's your communion with God? Secondly, I will just ask, how are we dealing with sin? Are you being aggressive to fight sin? Are you actively looking for any sin that you need to confess? Would you be able to say you're repenting of sin? Like, how are you dealing with sin? Or are you holding it close? Are you hiding it? And then the third one, this is one, I'll give you the principle in just a second, but just engaging the loss. There's so much in Scripture that's like, you know, the Psalm 67 that the Lord blesses us so that the nations can be blessed. There's this idea in Scripture that we weren't meant to just be a bucket that collects stuff and never pours out. We're more like a pipe where God's blessings flow to us, through us, to other people. And when we are pouring out, we're in a healthier walk of the Lord. That's just the way God intends for it to be. Pouring out, serving other people, doing these things. So we'll ask the question about engaging the lost. Like, how are you doing in engaging the lost? Are you, and that doesn't mean, are you sharing the gospel every week? That can just mean, like, are you looking outside of yourself, the lost world, and saying, am I loving my neighbor? Am I building relationships with people? Those kind of things. Conceit or self-focus destroys us and the body of Christ. We wind up comparing ourselves to feeling either superior or inferior. And both of those are pride. But an other's focus builds up the body and allows us to love each other. So how are we bearing one another's burdens? When we do this, the world will notice. And they will know that you're my disciples, but love one another. The world will notice, and we will be able to continue on without making a shipwreck of our faith. Let me pray for this. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us so much that you give us the body of Christ. You give us each other to help us carry these burdens. And I think we all have times in our lives, things that we can look at and say, that was a burden. There's zero chance I could have carried that on my own. And we look at how the body of Christ helps us. Please, by your grace, let us be that for each other. Let us carry one another's burdens. Let us look not only to our own interests, but the interests of others. Let us see what are the ways that I need to help, serve, carry this burden. But then also, Father, how can I keep my brothers and sisters from stumbling? Sin wants to destroy us, so help us to be a community of people. Help us to be the body of Christ that really does vigilant to help make sure our brothers and sisters aren't falling into sin. But we look at ourselves and say, oh, what's the light in my own eye? What is the way that if I'm not careful, I'm going to be tempted to do the very same thing? Take heed lest I fall as well. Help us to do that with a spirit of gentleness and humility. Let us be the body of Christ so that you will get the glory you deserve and the world will see, and hopefully by your grace and grace alone, we will not make a shipwreck of faith. We'll persevere to the end. But we need you, God. We need your